Welcome to Sparkle Speak. This is a podcast sponsored by Sparkle, which is a Christian women's ministry designed to connect women with the purpose of inspiration and encouragement. Each week, we will interview a new guest who will share her personal experience with Christianity. Whether you identify yourself as a Christian or not, this podcast is for you, and our intent is always to inspire one another through our own unique and individual stories of how God has moved and shaped us. Wherever you are listening today, we hope you enjoy this story of faith. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine, and today we have a very special guest with us. Her name is Jayla Gracie, and I met Jayla a couple weeks ago at a Sparkle event. So it was my first time meeting her, and she seems amazing. I can't wait to hear her story along with all of you tonight. So welcome, Jayla.
Thank you, Catherine, and hello, Sparkle Speak family.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, just like what you do and your family or whatever you want to share?
Absolutely. So I am a wife and a mom of two beautiful girls. My oldest is 13. My youngest is 8. I work for an ophthalmology practice where I am the medical biller there, and I manage that department. And then my second job is I am the first lady of Shiloh Baptist Church. My husband is the senior pastor and has been for 3 years now. So I serve with him in our community here in Pontiac and just help out wherever we can help out to meet that need.
That's awesome. I bet you as a family are very busy.
Yes, absolutely. I have been laughing lately and saying, if it's not on my calendar, I am going to forget because there are so many balls in the air with the kids being back to in-person school this year. Our oldest is participating in a production with the high school. So we have a lot of stuff going on, but we make time for everything. We just got to put it on a calendar.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I really admire people who work in the church, like ministry full time, because I've always heard it said it's more of a lifestyle than a job, really. So I do admire people because I know y'all are busy.
Absolutely. There is never a dull moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Well, we're going to dive straight in. And part of why I love this podcast is just because everyone has such a unique story and background and perspective and things to share. So really honored just to hear what you have to say tonight. But the first question is, what does Christianity mean to you specifically?
Well, first of all, let me say thank you. I am humbled to brag on God anytime that I have this opportunity. I think it is to his glory, and it is a moment for me to brag on him. So I will say Christianity to me is love. If we look at the scripture, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that was love. That was that ultimate gift of love. So for me, I try to, as a Christian, as a person that proclaims to be a Christian, it's love. So even in those hard moments, those times that people can be unlovable, I have to show that love of Christ because God sent his only begotten son to die for a wretch like me. So I would say Christianity means love.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. I like that you used, was that lyrics from Amazing Grace? Saved a wretch like me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so cool because I was actually just thinking about that the other day when I was thinking about sharing my own story. I was like, I got to incorporate the lyrics of Amazing Grace because they're just powerful. So
absolutely. They are powerful lyrics because it is his grace that we walk in daily and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And how, you know,
I love that you say Christianity means love to you, because I could not agree more. I mean, the Bible says God is love. So what, you know, what more is there than the love piece of it? But what's so interesting is that I feel like the word love has been taken so out of context in culture and society. And so to even just like relearn what love actually truly means and then apply that to Christianity is so, you know, interesting.
Absolutely. And I think we're in a time in this world where we're so divided. And things are so, it's such a division in everything that you look at. If we could get back to the bare basics of just love, we could get so much further in life.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Yeah, well, that's great. Thank you. Thank you again for sharing that. And I would love to hear, like, just more personally, you know, to you, how did you first start identifying yourself as a Christian, or how did you come to know God? And were there any like specific experiences that really like helped shape or change your view of God to what it is today?
So I grew up in the church, grew up Sunday school every Sunday, service every Sunday, the traditional Baptist kid, was baptized early on, professed my faith early on, Easter program, Christmas program, speeches, the whole nine, like the typical Baptist protocol, you name it, I did it. It wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I moved from religion to relationship. And that's when I really came to know Christ for myself. It wasn't living off the prayers of my great grandmother, my grandmother, my mother. I got to know God for myself. And I would say that it was a lot in part. I got married when I was 24 years old. I grew up, was born and raised in Flint. My husband lived here in Pontiac. And so during that time frame, it was a big transition of moving away from the home, the church home that I had always known my whole life, to incorporating my life into his life. And at the time, our pastor was the late Dr. Drew E. Marshall, and he pushed us to move from religion to relationship and to really get to know God for ourselves, to incorporate that prayer time, to incorporate that quiet time, to study his word, to really get to know him on a real and personal level, one-on-one. And it was during that time frame that I got to know God. And it wasn't necessarily easy, because it was transition. It was incorporating my life into another person's life and the two becoming one. And I think with that, that's what helped me in that relationship with God, because I couldn't rely on my mother or my father anymore. I had to create this new life with my husband. And there were points and times where it was difficult and it was hard. And there was nobody that I could lean and depend on but God in those moments.
Yeah, that's when you really do start to see him as a real person, right? When there's no other person to fulfill. Mm-hmm. What you need.
He becomes your all in all.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of laugh. My husband and I, when he's marrying couples, we do their premarital counseling together. And I often tell the wives, you know, your husband is God's creation. That's God's. So there comes a time and a point where you have to pray, because it's certain things that you can't change about them, or certain decisions that they make that may frustrate you or that you don't necessarily understand. And I'll throw my hands up real quick and be like, okay, Lord, this is your child. This is your creation. You deal with him, because I can't at this moment. And once you start having those one-on-one conversations in prayer, it builds this beautiful relationship where he knows our heart. He knows the desires of our heart. He knows those times where we can't find the words to say, and all we can do is moan or wave our hand. He interprets that in his own special way because we're his children.
Beautifully said. And thanks for like even just mentioning that about marriage too, because anyone who's married listening to this, we've all been there. We all know those moments. You know, absolutely. Where it's just like, how do we even move forward from here? You know, it's like only God, right? But
absolutely.
I also think it applies to any relationship too. You know, things get so frustrating and hard, and it's so easy to make people our idols and relationships mm-hmm. our idols, and look for to those relationships to fulfill all the needs that we have. And you know, obviously, like sometimes we get to a point where we realize that only God can really fill it like to the fullest. And
right.
of course, he wants us to have relationships with other people, and thriving relationships is what he wants, but it has to start with him first.
Absolutely. We can't lose sight that he is our source. So mm-hmm. a lot of times we look at the resource and forget about the source. But when we can focus that attention on he's our source, he's our all in all, he's when we're in trouble, we can look to him. When our job is fickle and funny and we don't know where our next paycheck is coming from, that's the resource, but he's the source.
Yeah, like it's almost like getting to the root of what's mm-hmm. going on, as opposed to looking to God just to like fix something on a surface level.
Absolutely.
Like when we're spending that, like you mentioned before, that prayer time, that quiet time, that one-on-one time, really getting to know him, that's where mm-hmm. the change happens, and where he sources us from the inside out, like you said. That's really
absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, I love that. Very cool. So what, and I would love to hear this, especially just given the fact that, you know, you and your husband are leaders in the church. I'm really curious to hear what this answer would look like for you, but what have been some of the joys and challenges of the Christian walk for you since kind of finding that relationship?
So this one, I would say it's a bit of a challenge, not in a challenge as I don't want to answer the question or whatnot, but my joy is also my challenge. And mm-hmm. I say that because in the Baptist vernacular, we call them church folk, the people of the church. I would say that they're my joy, but they're also my challenge, because I think about the people that I have encountered over the years that have truly been a joy, that have sown seeds into my life, that have poured into me. I mentioned our past pastor, Dr. Drew E. Marshall, and how much he poured into me. I think about as a little girl growing up, people at my home church that sowed into me and loved me and really showed me what Christian women and Christian men and what Christian marriages look like over the years. But with that, there's the other side of that. And it's the people that are in the church, but not necessarily doing, walking as Christ would have us to walk. They say nasty things. They discourage us. They sow seeds of discord, different things like that. So I say that as my joy and my challenge, because it's been a struggle. A few years ago, my husband and I went through a transition where we were leaving a place that he had known his whole life. And some of the things that were said and the attacks on his character and our family, and it hurt. And church hurt was real, and the church hurt came from church people. And so a lot of times I feel like we get into this space where we hide behind our Christianity And we say things and we blanket it with the, oh, I'm just saying it in Christian love. No, really, you're not. You're just being a hellion right now. And so while every person that sold seeds of love, there have been people that have sown seeds of hate as well. And moving past that has been a challenge, and it's been difficult. And I can recall being in a place of not angry at God, but angry with his people. Mm-hmm. And really questioning, okay, Lord, all of this turmoil is going on. I don't see you in any of this, but I feel your presence. And how do I move from this place of anger and hurt into a place of healing and getting over it? And it was a long journey and a long road, and I'm still on it and still working towards that true freedom, that true deliverance. And there's moments and times where things will come up, and I instantly have to check myself and say, okay, Lord, I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting angry because of this challenge. Help me find my joy. Mm-hmm. And he'll send somebody, or he'll send a word, or he'll send a message. And it instantly brings that joy back to get me back on track.
Yeah, that's really cool to hear. And I like that you just explained that, you know, you don't have an issue with God. A lot of times it's like his church that can mm-hmm. be hurtful. And yeah, like, cause we're not perfect, and Christians make mistakes, and we're mean to each other, and it gets so muddled, you know, because mm-hmm. Sometimes people think they're acting in the name of God, but really they're not. And so it gets so confusing. But, I like that you mentioned that it's been a journey for you to learn how to get past bitterness and find healing. So I know this might be like, you know, throwing a curveball at you, but do you have any, like, I don't know if advice is the right word, but just anything to share about like what that journey has been like, and like what you've discovered on how to really get past bitterness?
It's not a curveball. It is a journey of grace. And it's in those moments where that bitterness comes up, of learning to allow myself grace to know, okay, I'm having this moment. God helped me through this moment. And once I get through that moment, okay, Lord, thank you for walking me through this. Thank you for forgiving me of holding this bitterness in my heart, and help me when it comes the next time that it comes up. Help me to be gracious in all situations. Help me to be kind and loving. Lord, forgive me for those times where I've been unkind and said unloving things and made someone feel like I feel in this moment. Mm. And so it's a matter of grace. Really walking in his grace and bestowing that grace to other people, because some of the same people that made these disparaging comments and said different things, we still have to see them. And it's very difficult to sometimes, you know, smile and be pleasant and exchange pleasantries. But God always graces me in those moments. And I thank him for that every time. And even in those moments where we have a saying, you know, in our house, fix your face, because I don't have a poker face. So I tell everything with my facial expressions. And I've laughed with the mask. And I'm like, I'm never taking off my mask. I'll wear my mask and even when COVID is over, because it hides my facial expression. And my husband often say, babe, fix your face. You telling a lot with your facial expression.
That's funny.
I thank God that he gives me the grace to be able to step back and say, okay, Lord, give me the strength. You know, this is a struggle for me. You know, this person is a challenge for me. Give me the grace to deal with them in your power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Grace for them and grace for yourself, like mm-hmm. you said. And yeah, like I think that even humbles us too, to remember that, you know, so I think sometimes it can be so easy to not think that you're right and perfect, but like sometimes we just get stuck in like, we're right, they're wrong, you know, mm-hmm. and we forget mm-hmm. that like God forgives us, you know, for all the things we do. So how could we Absolutely. Not bestow that forgiveness onto someone else?
Absolutely.
But it's just hard. It's backwards. Sometimes it's hard to actually remember that in the moment at times, but mm-hmm. that's really cool that he's taken you on that journey and really showed you that. And I bet you that you've been blessed a lot just by, I don't know, showing someone kindness when maybe it's undeserved.
Absolutely. I have seen God move in unspeakable and miraculous ways. When we were, I like to call it the eye of the storm. When we were going through the eye of the storm, I remember being angry. And I was so angry at my husband because I was like, do something, say something. Why won't you? We have all the receipts to show that we're not wrong and you didn't do anything. And he looked at me and he said, God told me I can't say anything. Mm. I have to be still. This isn't my battle to fight. And I'm like storming off like, okay, Lord, now you telling this man that he can't do nothing. And I have a mound of paperwork to show that we're right in this. And I had to, at that point, say, okay, Lord, you're speaking to him. He's the priest of our house. I believe that in my heart that he's the priest of our house. So I have to submit to his leadership, and whatever it is that you're telling him to do, I have to fall in line. And it wasn't until probably 3 years after the fact that I could see why God wouldn't let him do what I wanted him to do. Because I wanted to act in my flesh and not act as Christ would have me to act because I was angry. And it wasn't until afterwards that I could see what it was that God was doing and why it had to be done the way it had to be done.
Wow. I just got chills. I love hearing stories like that where like you may not see it in the moment, but years back, or, you know, as time goes on, you can look and just see how God was working it all together.
Mm-hmm. It's the old hymn of the church. We'll understand it better by and by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's cool. And I mean, you threw in another nugget there about, you know, submitting, which is always
hard. That's the dirty little word.
I know, but I love that example because it is so true. And it's a hot topic even in today's society too, you know, just with, I don't know, people don't like that word, you know?
Right.
But I think when you can see it play out and how it actually does have a purpose and, you know, and God uses it for good, I think we can really be encouraged by it.
Absolutely. Submitting is a beautiful thing. And when you study it and you learn it the way that God intends for us to actually submit, you have no issue with it.
Yeah. And I will say too, just even, you know, personally, anytime I've really, like, if I've disagreed with my husband on something, like a matter, when I've really been intentional to say like, okay, Lord, I really don't agree, but I'm going to step back. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust that, you know, you're leading him and we're going to just walk this the way he sees fit to walk it. And it's so cool. Cause every time I do that, like, you know, it just blesses our household, whether, he was right and we needed to walk in what my husband wanted to do, or God will change my husband's heart and mind.
Absolutely.
And then we don't have any discord because I was supportive of him, you know, the whole time. So it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, thanks for sharing that, you know, just the joys and challenges. I think that's been actually a common theme that they really go hand in hand. But I like how you tied a lot into that. So, just to kind of close this out, do you have a favorite verse or anything that you've been learning lately that God's been putting on your heart that you want to share with us?
So it's funny because I was thinking about this and, like, gosh, how do I condense it down? So I have three. One that I've been chewing on lately, there was a Sparkle event, I think two events ago, and unfortunately, I can't remember the young lady's name. She came down from Grand Rapids to speak, and she did a talk on the story in Luke 5, 18 through 20 about the friends that had carried their paralyzed friend on the mat to the feet of Jesus. And that blessed me so much because a few years ago, it was a group of girlfriends of mine that that was kind of our theme scripture in the group, because we all had a turn of holding the mat to carry our sister to the feet of Jesus. And since then, life has happened, and this group of young ladies, we don't communicate like we did at that time. And I really kind of struggled with, okay, well, what happened? Why did we drop our corners of our mat? And after that Sparkle event, it helped me to realize that I was so focused on who had their corners that I lost sight of everybody's got to take their turn on that mat. And we all have to recognize when we need to be vulnerable and be able to allow our friends to carry us to the feet of Jesus, whether we're paralyzed by fear or paralyzed by anger or bitterness, whatever it is, we have to be vulnerable enough to allow those people to carry us to the feet of Jesus so that we can be healed and we can be whole. So that was one.
I love it.
The other one is always my go-to, Jeremiah 29:11, where I know the plans, the Lord knows the plans that he has for you to prosper you, that scripture. That is one that I hold on to dearly, because even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of things not going necessarily how I think they should go, I know he has a plan for me. And it's not to harm me. It's a plan that's ultimately going to bring me to a place of peace. So even when we were going through the eye of the storm, I couldn't see God in it, but I could feel his presence. And I knew ultimately it was going to get me to a place of peace. And I'm at that place of peace now. And then my final one is 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It endures all things. I'm living in a house with a 13-year-old teenage girl. It is tough.
Turmoil.
It is tough.
Yep.
We have very similar personalities. And so there's a lot of times that I gotta remember, love is patient. Love is kind. Even in those frustrating moments of parenthood, I've got to be patient. I've got to be kind. Even in those frustrating points of marriage, I've got to be patient. I've got to be kind, because it endures all things. The sassy mouth of the teenager, it endures that. The not seeing eye to eye with my husband, it endures all of that. So those last two are the ones that have kind of been my staples. And then Luke is the one that is really, really dealing with me right now on my being vulnerable and allowing my friends to really carry me to the feet of Jesus and not always being the one to hold my corner of the mat, but being able to say, you know what? I'm struggling right now. I need to be mad. I need to be at the feet of Jesus. So those are my three.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing all of those. Cause I think, I mean, I feel blessed by everything you just shared too. I think it's so true. And, you know, it's so interesting about the Corinthians verse you read, because I think, you know, sometimes people can, it's so well known and it's used all the time that I think sometimes we can kind of gloss over it in our minds and just be like, oh, love, it's patient, it's kind, yada, yada, yada. But, like, I like your examples you use, cause it's like those moments of challenge with, you know, your husband or your daughter or whatever. It's like, no, love is patient and love is kind, and we need to cling to that and fight for it. And it's hard.
And it endures all things. I think that's the piece that we miss. It endures all things. So whatever comes up, love endures all things. And it's kind of that full circle moment. It takes us right back to the beginning of our conversation. That love, that Christ love, it endures our sins. He went to the cross and took all our sins. He endured it all for wretches like us.
Yep. Amen. And, you know, and we can't do it on our own strength too. I think that's exactly the other thing. I think sometimes, you know, we think, oh, we need to somehow just get this together so that we can get through this and we can endure and we can love. But if we're trying to do it on our own, we're going to fail. But the beauty of the Christian walk is that God is our strength, and we can only access that enduring love through him. I actually learned about a concept called spiritual breathing, and I love thinking about it, because it's like, just like we take like breaths in and out constantly all day long, we spiritually breathe by breathing out the bad. Like, Lord, I'm impatient right now. I'm angry right now. I'm saying things that I shouldn't say, and then breathing in his strength, his peace, his goodness, his Holy Spirit, to be able to breathe it back out again. Yeah. So I always think about that concept too, when I'm thinking about like trying to operate up on my own strength versus his.
That's good. I like that. Cause we can't live without breathing. And so we can't operate the way he wants us to operate without breathing out the bad and breathing in him with each breath. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Oh, well, this has been so great, Jayla. Thank you for sharing all of that. I know that whoever listens to this is going to be very blessed just by your words and your experiences. So I appreciate you. And to close us out, I'm going to pray for us real quick.
Okay. Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah. Dear Lord, thank you for this conversation with Jayla. Thank you that you have taught her so much. And it all started with realizing that it's all about relationship with you, not religion. And I'm so grateful that you showed her that and you've taken her on such a beautiful journey. I love that you have taught us about grace and just love, loving people the way you loved us first. So we love you, God, and we just thank you for who you are. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. If you are interested in following us on social media, you can find us on Instagram at @sparklefaith_ or at sparklefaith.com. There you can find information on upcoming events and speakers, and please feel free to reach out to us if you have a personal story of faith that you would be willing to share with us. We hope you tune in again next week, and we hope your week is full of the sparkle we all need.
A powerful prayer life does not require hiking a mountain to be able to hear from God. God can meet us right in the middle of our busy lives to help, guide, and speak to us through prayer. I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical teaching and encouragement on how you can make prayer a natural and consistent part of your everyday life. I promise it won't require hiking a mountain, but you just might develop the faith to move one. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.